I'm Paula Gordon. Bill Russell and I are delighted to again be with Alexandra Fuller. Since you raise a movie, I was also thinking of my favorite Western, and I've seen many Westerns, that is Lawrence Kasdan's, help me with this, Bill,
Silverado.
When Danny Glover, who is brilliant as always, in that whole movie, it's just the best Western ever made, ever made. Danny Glover.
She likes it too.
I like it, that's true. Danny Glover just says it all. He says, that ain't right.
Huh.
And I kept thinking as I really did inhale deeply of this wonderful book, The Legend of Colton H. Bryant, that ain't right. And as you described, the circumstance that brought you to write this amazing book, that ain't right. And yet it is.
It's happening. You were there. I was driving down down an oil patch road, dirt road, and I picked up the phone and I called the two of you and said, I need to describe to you what I'm looking at. And I described the landscape and everything that we talked about, this sense of being addicted to energy and how that addiction is translating to this, you know, compulsive takeover of the land, which we will never recover. You can still see the Oregon Trail that went through there. So however much the oil companies say they will reclaim this land, if we can't reclaim wagon ruts, you know, from over 100 years ago, and there's no watchdog group out there. There's environmental groups trying desperately to sort of put their finger in the dike, but there's no one, you know, mandating that this reclamation happens properly. So I do remember having that early conversation with you, and that the idea then that I was throwing at you, as I remember, was, what if I wrote a book about energy like Michael Pollan's The Omnivore's Dilemma? What if I exposed what went into the sausage of energy? What if I wrote about this? And then what happened, which was actually, you know, truly miraculous, was the person that sort of walked into my story with grubby cowboy boots and then just wouldn't leave.
And he was dead.
Was Colton H. Bryant. His obituary had come across my desk earlier on. Then there was a story by the prize-winning investigative reporter Ray Ring in High Country News. The article is called something like Disposable Workers of the Oil Field. There was an interview with Colton H. Bryant's parents in that. And not only that, you could go onto the internet and click on a site that would bring up many accident, what they called fatality narratives. Mm. How do you like that euphemism? You can read the fatality narratives put out by OSHA to describe how these men died.
By OSHA?
By OSHA. OSHA doesn't come and do anything preemptive. So these rigs could be falling down.
This is OSHA after the fact.
This is OSHA after the fact. Once there is a death, however, OSHA will show up and say, oh, there were six serious safety violations. They find the drilling company that Colton was working for, $7,031. And I must have said, that ain't right, about 100 times. Managed to get a hold of his father, wonderful, iconic cowboy in that sort of Wyoming way. Just, you look at him and you know he has not wasted a calorie in his life. He has worked on the oil field for 30 years. His father worked on the oil field before him. Colton H. Bryant wanted nothing more than to work on the rigs. And ride his horse and go fishing and hunting and shooting. And he liked ketchup. He had a t-shirt that said, I put ketchup on my ketchup.
He wanted to be like his father.
But he didn't really have that opportunity. He was snatched so quickly.
Well, part of what is just so appalling about this wonderful story is that the oil company gets fined $7,000. It would have cost a couple thousand dollars to keep it from happening. It is an outrage that a young man's death is worth $7,000 to a multi-million dollar profiting company. That's just profit. $7,000 is, the wrist gets slapped. And for nothing. It didn't have to happen.
It's a cost of doing business.
It is cheaper for the oil companies to pay the fine and to make sure their rigs are safe.
Well, that's pocket change. I mean, that's a cup of coffee for the executives. A cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That doesn't pay for a retreat.
You talked about urgency, the way that they're approaching this, and that urgency sort of has conveys a sense that there is no tomorrow.
Mm.
And effectively, there is no tomorrow.
Not for Colton H. Bryant.
Well, not for Colton H. Bryant.
And not for us in many ways.
Not for us, not for the land, not for the... I mean, this is sort of an infinite discount rate, which is to say we got to have it all now and damn the consequences. And besides, I don't live here.
Right. Mm.
That is, the people that are running it. What is interesting and to me charming about the solution, not charming, that's too... brilliant about the solution you found is the people that live there. This is their home.
Mm-hmm.
They care deeply about it, and they're being exploited to a fare thee well. The early conversation we had, we talked a lot about methamphetamine, which is not tangential to this, both as an integral part of the equation, but also a consequence of this boomtown mentality. And that alone, it would seem, would be just incredibly destructive to what should be a community.
And you know, Pinedale, the town that is at the heart of this oil boom, and look, oil booms have come and gone before, but there has never, ever been anything like this. The technology wasn't available, the demand wasn't there, and since the technology has been available, there has never been an administration so willing to roll back human health and environmental laws to allow the oil companies to do what they're doing. As we speak, there are two rigs drilling on the banks of the New Fork River, which is the headwaters of the Colorado River. Air standards in and around Pinedale, Wyoming, population 6,000 in the whole county, was so bad 8 times this winter that residents were warned not to go outside. This is some of the cleanest air, some of the cleanest water, some of the most sacred land in the United States of America.
Was.
And so that kind of, for me the question became, why is it that we're prepared to sacrifice everything? And I don't just mean we the oil companies, I mean we the people. Why are we the people prepared to sacrifice everything for now? Why is there no tomorrow?
Well, I think part of it is we don't tell the stories. I mean, that's what's so important about you and people like you, the few people like you, that those stories do get told. The stories, the narratives we have, are the narratives that represent the perspective that this is, that this is essentially the cost of doing business. Mm. A few dead cowboys.
And you know, it's interesting if a cow dies out there, because you know, bear in mind, this is critical grazing, not just for wildlife, but the ranchers need this land. And the last thing they want to upset is a rancher, because a rancher in Wyoming still has quite a lot of political power.
And he's armed.
If a cow dies, that rancher gets compensated immediately, without question. The oil companies phone them up, they apologize, they emphasize that they want to be good neighbors. Colton H. Bryant falls from a rig, the safety hand comes to the hospital where Colton is on life support with a hole in his head that he could put his fist through, and the safety hand starts sort of posturing and saying, this is, you know, BS, I've been up for 36 hours and now I've got to deal with this, and I want that boy to have a blood and urine test, and if he comes up hot for anything, in other words, if he...
And he's talking to the family.
He's talking to Colton's father.
As he's dying.
His boy lies dying. And if he comes up positive for any drugs, he ain't getting nothing. You're not even getting workers' comp, which is deplorably inadequate anyway. The double standard doesn't even begin to describe it. What's going on here?
What I found remarkable, and I want to say again and again and again, The Legend of Colton H. Bryant is a remarkable read. It is a great story, beautifully told. It is a book that you can't resist it, you can't put it down. It's a great story, and tragic as the day is long, I like it. As compared to that other thing that I didn't like, whatever it was. The metaphor of methamphetamine as us and oil as us and destruction, as us and now. And I don't mean us as in you dot s dot, but I could. Whether it's we're talking about the United States of America, USA, or we're talking about us as the developed world, us as just rapacious individuals, the methamphetamine metaphor seemed to me to be, if anything, I mean, there are two or three hearts, not the least of which is one bleeding for this kid. Doesn't that play in all of this?
Well, interestingly, I had been commissioned by a magazine to do a story on the methamphetamine.
It wasn't just any magazine, it was the New Yorker magazine.
Epidemic in Wyoming. And I had really not known where to start. I did know that, I wanted to go out into the heart of Wyoming to find this story.
Where you live.
Where I live in the summers. And about a week after I'd gotten this commission, a headline in our local newspaper said, methamphetamine arrests up 300% this year. And I thought, that's a misprint. It must be 3% or 30%, not 300%. I went to go and see the local sheriff, and he said to me, well, yes, we have had an increase in methamphetamine in the community, but it has nothing to do with the oil patch. And I went, what oil patch? Because to begin with, the oil companies had been very effective and had put the rigs behind a view corridor, in other words, behind a mesa, and they had hidden a lot of the consequences. And the initial consequences, the initial shockwaves were felt in the community with kids leaving ranch work to go and work on the oil patch, with an influx of usually single young men coming into this community. The whole county has a population of 6,000. What happens when you throw 3,000, usually single, young men who are making $25 an hour at a community where there is no video arcade, there is no movie theater, there's nothing to do?
It's not even a strip bar.
Not even a strip bar.
We'll be back.
Well, and this is, you're dealing with advanced testosterone poisoning in the community, which is a non-trivial undertaking, I think.
We'll come back to testosterone poisoning and more with Alexandra Fuller in just a moment. Do join us when we return.